and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As Christians, Christmas time is associated so much with Jesus born of Mary. And that's good and that's proper. But here tonight, we see this close link between Christmas, Lent, Holy Week, and Easter morning. Jesus was born with a human body and human soul. And that was why he was born, so that he would grow up and also teach and do miracles and finally suffer and die and rise again. And that part of our confession, that part of Scripture's teaching, we'll think about at this time. We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and see the God's promise and plan to save humanity. When he said, remember in Genesis 3:15, after Adam and Eve had sinned, he was speaking to the serpent, but the promise, the curse on the serpent, would be a blessing for humans. And God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God promised to defeat Satan at Satan's work. And that promise was going to be an offspring of Eve, down the line, many generations. And in the Hebrew there, it's very clear, it's he, third person, masculine, singular. A certain male would be born of Eve's offspring that would do it. And he, God is promising this baby, this offspring would do this. And we hear then again throughout the Old Testament the promises of the Savior, God's plans for the Savior. And the few verses that we look at tonight are just a few, talking about the humanity of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and there's more verses that are attached to that, but just 6 and 7 for tonight. We see that God's son would be born as a child and that he would be a gift to all mankind, to all men, women, and children. Remember John 3:16, there's so much packed into that passage. I've been mentioning that lately. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, gave a gift. And it's clear in the Isaiah reading from Isaiah 9 that this child is a gift. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Really, perhaps this was even the verse that John was thinking about and Jesus was talking about in John 3:16. This son is given. This child is given. And this child to be born is wise, is God, is equal with the Father. And here we're hearing about his divinity as well, true God and true man, but equal with the Father. And this child would give God's peace. He is the Prince of Peace. This peace that and this rule of this child would never end. And that, for us, in our human way of thinking, in our human way of always dealing with sin and death, we can't think of a never end. For us, it seems like a never end. But in this child, God promises a kingdom that would never end, different than what we think of or experience as sinners who die. But the child has a kingdom that would never end. We see over and over again, the angel said to Mary too, we'll note that, that this child is going to take up the throne of David. He is a human ruling over humans, the throne of David. He is from the lineage of David. He is a descendant of David. And this child, as what we think sometimes in the church, we think of ourselves as spiritual beings, which is correct. But sometimes we think of ourselves almost like the spiritual being apart from our body. And sometimes in the church we emphasize that. And we pray for illness and we pray for troubles that we face physically. But sometimes we forget, hey, Jesus, the one, the child to be born, was body and soul together, all fully human. And so this son of David, this descendant of David, is meant to rule with his body and soul over us, body and souls. He understands and knows what it is to be a created human. He took on human flesh. Why did he have to do that? There's places, a number of places we could see in Scripture. One is very clear and brief from Galatians 4. This one to be born of Mary was going to be under the law. Paul wrote in Galatians 4, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, fully human, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So this child to be born that Isaiah talks about, that God promised in Genesis chapter 3, 15, and so many other places in Scripture, was going to be born of a woman born under the law. And what did Jesus do as being born under the law? He obeyed the law perfectly. And also, he suffered the punishment of the law. He suffered the consequences of sin that we deserve, but was put on him. And in Christian theology, sometimes referred to his born under the law and obeying it perfectly, that's his active obedience. He actively obeyed God's law perfectly. He actively obeyed his parents. He actively obeyed the Ten Commandments. He actively did all these things. And then when he bore the punishment of the law that we deserved, that he received, it was put on him, and that we often call his passive obedience. He was obedient to be the sacrifice to receive that punishment we deserve. So both actively what he did and also passively what he allowed to happen to him, we think especially of Holy Week. Remember he told Peter, don't you know I could call 10 legions of angels to defend him? But that was not the Father's will. The Father's will was that he would be the bearer of sin. So being born a human, he was actively involved in obeying God's will, the law, and also receiving the punishment of the law for us. In part three, when I say the child born is fully human, I should have emphasized the and there. That's what I wanted to emphasize. I have it circled on my notes. He was born fully human and fully God. Both. It's a mystery how that is. But that is the clear teaching of Scripture. And it's clearly what the angel Gabriel told Mary. In so many of these words, there's so many things you can find in this announcement of Mary, of her to be the mother of Jesus. We look at and think about just a few. Mary would carry and bear this baby in the normal human way a mother does. Jesus was carried in her womb. He was born of her in the normal human way. The true father was God the Father. Mary was his true mother, and God the Father was a true father. And she became pregnant by his power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is both God and man. The angel again tells Mary that he is going to inherit the throne and the kingdom of David, his great ancestor. There again, we see the humanity of Jesus emphasized. For a human would rule after King David and rule over the people. And we have to think of the people, too. We can trace out and mark out, you know, the extent of David's kingdom, what he was able to do in the God gave him physically, the geography and that. But it's really what? The kingdom of God is the rule over God's people. And this child to be born of Mary would take up the throne, the kingdom of David, which is God's kingdom, and would rule people. And in doing that, though, this is different from all the other kings, descendants of David, before Jesus, in that he would rule forever, which again defies our regular everyday things. Well, no nation lasts forever. What lasts forever? What person lasts forever? This king would last forever because he would defeat death. Right in that message from the angel to Mary, there is a hint, there is an indication that death is going to have no power over this king because he is going to rule forever. The angel Gabriel told Mary, and really the whole message here could have been just in this one sentence. The angel said to Mary, "The child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God." There you have what Jesus Christ is, his person. He is human. He has taken on human flesh, born of a human mother. And at the same time, he is the Son of God. As we think about these scripture passages and others which teaches us, we know that this Savior, both God and man, loves us and cares for us and is able to do that completely. He knows and is human, but he's also the Son of God. He has experienced humanity as being born, as living, eating, being tired, crying. All these are in Scripture. Being hungry. Seeing and grieving for people and death. Remember, he cried at Lazarus' tomb. All these things he felt and knew about as same time being the Son of God. And so now as he has suffered and died and risen again, he still knows these things. And he still knows our lives and he plans things out for us. We have so many things that can affect us in life. Just thinking about besides job or education or different those types of issues, just think about our health issues. You know, what is that virus? Or what is that disease? Or is it this or that? Or is it this medicine or that medicine? And he, Jesus Christ, knows exactly what it is and exactly how it's going to go. And in all that, he loves and cares for his people and rules over us. He rules over our bodies and souls, for he also has a body and soul, truly human, truly God. He paid for our sins. We don't have to be afraid of the evil things that we have done. He has paid for them completely. And the death that we still experience in this life, our body dies. We don't have to be afraid of it because we know his kingdom rules forever. He will return and overturn death and call his people to everlasting life. He lived on this earth and served his Father perfectly for us and also suffered for us. And he calls us as humans, as his people, to live out our lives knowing that we are God's and with our whole being to serve God. As I was thinking about him and his obedience to God and his obedience to God to suffer for our sins and dying and rising again, but living on life, living on earth during his life and his ministry, he told his disciples and others how to live life. I read from Mark chapter 12. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, that is, asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.'" Your whole humanity is for God. You belong to God. You serve him. Your whole humanity. And not only serving God, right? But serving others. Jesus said, "The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Our whole humanity, Jesus says, is for God and is for one another. He has done this for us. He has taken on human flesh. He did this for us. And he also calls us to live like that for God and for one another. This is the Savior that we have. True God and true man. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for giving to us your Son as a gift, that he would take on our human flesh, that he would live among sinners, teaching, healing, suffering, and dying for sinners, that we might become your sons and daughters. We ask you to build up our faith always, to know that you rule over all parts of our lives, our spirits and bodies, and that you have promised to us life everlasting. All these things we bring to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.